Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Tatva Chintan Pharma Limited Q4 FY24 results conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing the star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjesh Jain. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining on Tatva Chintan Pharma Chem Quarter 4 and FY24 results conference call. We have Tatva Chintan management on the call, represented by Mr. Chintan Shah, Managing Director, Mr. Ashok Bothra, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Ajay Pillay, Investor Relations. I would like to invite Mr. Dinesh Sudani, General Manager Finance, to make the opening remark, and from there we will take the call. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sanjesh. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of the management, I am pleased to welcome all of you to Tatva Chintan earnings call to discuss financial results of the quarter and year ended March 2024. Please note that a copy of all our disclosures is available in the investor section of our website as well as on both the stock exchanges. Anything discussed on this call which reflects our outlook for the future or which could be construed as a forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. Now I will hand over the call to our Investor Relations Officer, Mr. Ajay Pillay, for his opening remark. Over to you, Ajay.
Thank you, Dinesh. Good evening, everyone. I welcome you to Tatva Chintan Pharma Chem Limited's Quarter 4 and full year earnings call. Today we are pleased to present our audited results, which we trust you have had the opportunity to review via the materials uploaded on the stock exchanges and our company's website. Allow me to delve into the figures. Our revenue from operations for Quarter 4 stands at rupees 983 million, demonstrating growth of 17% quarter-on-quarter while experiencing a 21% decline year-on-year. The EBITDA for the period reached rupees 156 million, marking a 42% increase quarter-on-quarter and a 4% decrease compared to the same period last year. For the full year, our revenue reached rupees 3,935 million, depicting a 7% decline year-on-year, with the corresponding EBITDA standing at rupees 682 million, showcasing a 13% increase as compared to the previous year. Now let's walk through the performance of each product segment. Phase transfer catalyst recorded quarterly revenue of rupees 272 million, illustrating a 10% increase quarter-on-quarter, yet experiencing a 28% decline year-on-year. Annual revenue from this segment stands at rupees 1,067 million, showcasing a 25% decline compared to the previous year. Revenue from electrolyte salts amounted to rupees 14 million, indicating a 16% growth quarter-on-quarter and 48% growth year-on-year. Annual revenue from this segment totaled rupees 50 million, reflecting a 70% decrease compared to the previous year. Pharma and agro intermediates and specialty chemicals posted quarterly revenue of rupees 280 million, marking an 11% increase quarter-on-quarter while witnessing a 6% decline year-on-year. The annual revenue for the year in this segment is rupees 1,132 million, demonstrating a 15% decline year-on-year. SGH achieved a quarterly revenue of rupees 408 million, indicating a 26% increase quarter-on-quarter, although experiencing a 26% decline year-on-year. The annual revenue for SGH reached rupees 1,655 million, representing a 30% year-on-year growth. In conclusion, I would like to pass the call to our respected Managing Director to provide insights to our business outlook. Over to you, sir.
Good evening and a warm welcome to everyone. Today I will just brief you about the business outlook and developments. I am pleased to report that our business volumes have shown gradual improvement in Q4. We anticipate to continue a moderate growth over the next two quarters, with a good uptake expected in Q3 and Q4. The improvements in business sentiment are quite evident, with a notable increase in serious inquiries with improved volumes. Since mid-March, both of our plants have been operating with improving capacity utilization, reflecting the growing demand. What is particularly encouraging is the shift in customer behavior. We are experiencing a notable increase in push for early shipments and urgent orders, indicating a marked improvement in demand within our industry. It is worth noting that except for agrochemicals, all other chemical sectors we serve are reflecting improved sentiments and a brighter outlook. Contrary to our initial expectations, the prices of several chemicals continued to decline through Q4. In particular, raw material prices of SDAs have seen significant reduction, and also certain key raw materials of few PASC products have also declined. However, during the month of April, we have observed a stabilization in prices. With improving demands, we logically feel that the price of chemicals should turn around within next couple of quarters. Throughout the fourth quarter, freight charges remained persistently high. While there has been a slight reduction in freight charges in the US sector recently, but the European sector continues to face elevated cost. Now let us go through the outlook of each segment. Phase transfer catalyst. We expect a stable revenue in this segment for FY25. We have managed to retain all our major customers for PTCs. The recent addition of new business within the segment will offset the continued subdued demand of PTCs from agrochemical sectors in FY25. In this segment, the raw material price reduction was the most during FY24, which led to the reduction in its revenue realization. Structure Directing Agents, SDAs. SDAs have exhibited strong recovery of business across various applications. I am pleased to inform you that we have been formally qualified in all ongoing applications with various customers. Commercial supplies in most of these cases have also begun. Only one application still continues to remain under qualification. With onboarding of new customers coupled with improved demands, we foresee a handsome growth in volumes of SDAs in FY25. But the significant reduction in raw material prices during Q4 will translate into lower price realization of SDAs in FY25. So the revenue growth will not be proportionate to the volume growth. Electrolyte salts. The poor offtake in Chinese markets has led to lower levels of business for the electrolyte salts in FY24. However, there are promising developments on the horizon. The progress of our existing customer setting up a fully automated production line for energy storage batteries is proceeding as planned. We anticipate a significant uptick in demand starting from August 24. Furthermore, our ongoing qualification process with another customer is progressing smoothly. This customer represents a significant application of batteries in hybrid cars with our type of organic electrolytes, and which will lead to large volumes in coming years, with potential commercialization beginning from end of 2024. In another major development, we have successfully developed formulation of electrolyte for the zinc battery. We are in process of submitting samples to the potential customers. With a thrust among car manufacturers to move to hybrid cars, an increasing demand for energy storage systems continues to keep this segment exciting. We maintain a positive outlook for significant growth in this segment in the coming years. PASC segment. Validation of 3 pharma and 2 agro products have progressed positively. So far, we have not received any adverse comment and we expect formal validation within due time. Due to ongoing Red Sea problem leading to extremely long transit time to Europe, delivery of our third agro product got delayed by about 45 to 60 days, which will translate into delay in formal validation and consequent commercialization of this product. As we can foresee that we will run very tight on production capacities. We have already commenced production of two new PSC agro products for which commercial supplies will begin in late Q2, early Q3. This strategic decision allows us to accumulate sufficient inventory to meet the potential committed demands. We have begun commercial production of our first photochlorination product. We have faced a lot of initial challenges and few breakdowns, but each of them has been resolved successfully and production has resumed smoothly. In monogline continuous flow chemistry, we had run into major safety concern on pilot scale trials. Now, finally, the correct solution to the problem has been identified. We are completely revamping the pilot equipment and redesigning a new one as per the identified solution. With necessary safety and control measures in place in the newly designed pilot equipment, we are confident to run monocline successfully, as the catalyst has already performed very well in the earlier trials. Similarly, catalyst of two other products on continuous flow reactor applications have given very satisfactory results on pilot scale, but we shall do piloting again after getting the new pilot equipment to ensure that we run it very safely. We have successfully developed and piloted four new products of common family, having large volume applications into polymer industry. We have developed the key intermediate of this product range with an innovative electrolysis technology replacing the conventional high-risk technology. This makes the process much safer and price competitive. We are now gearing up to do plant-scale trials. Flame retardants. Market continues to remain at unrealistic low prices. We observe a positive change in terms of inquiry flow from number of different customers with improved volumes. This indicates an improvement in demand scenario for flame retardants, but unfortunately this is not reflecting in price improvement. We continue to wait for the right moment to begin commercial production. We have successfully completed development of our third BFR on lab scale. In view of improved business sentiments and various product approvals and their commercializations, we expect FY25 to be a robust year and we shall see high plant occupancy. Though this demand growth will not reflect proportionately in top-line growth due to reduced prices of products led by reduction in raw material prices. Despite of this, we expect to achieve top-line growth of 35 to 40%. This is considering that raw material prices continue to remain at such low levels. Any positive changes in pricing will have a direct impact on the top line growth. With our unwavering commitment to innovation, quality and customer satisfaction, I am confident that we are well positioned to capitalize on upcoming opportunities and drive further success in coming quarters and years to come. Thank you. Now I hand over the mic to Mr. Ashok Bothra.
Thank you, sir, and good evening to everyone present on our call today. The financial highlights for the quarter and 9 months are as below. During Q4 FY24, the company reported revenue from operation of 983 million versus 1245 million in Q4 FY23. During Q4 FY24, the company reported EBITDA of 156 million versus 163 million in Q4 FY23. EBITDA margins were at 15.9% versus 13.1% in the same period previous year. During Q4 FY24, the company reported PAT of 96 million versus 170 million in Q4 FY23. PAT margins were at 9.8% versus 13.6% in the same period previous year. During FY24, the company reported revenue from operation of 3,935 million versus 4,236 million in FY23. During FY24, the company reported EBITDA of 682 million versus 606 million in FY23. EBITDA margins were at 17.3% versus 14.3% in the same period previous year. During FY24, the company reported PAT of 304 million versus 450 5 million in FY23. PAT margins were at 7.7% versus 10.7% in the same period previous year. During FY24, the employee expenses was at 13.9% of revenue versus 9.7% during FY23 due to new recruitment on account of newly commissioned facility at Dahej and also R&D facility at Baroda. During FY24, exports stood at 2,769 million, contributing 70% of the revenue. Out of net IPO proceeds of 272.81 million, 100% of the funds have been utilized till 31st March 2024. During the quarter, 10 million was spent. That concludes an update on the financial highlights of the company. I shall now request the moderator to open the floor for question and answer session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sudarshan Padmanabhan from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. On understanding,
Sudarshan ji, this time I am giving the opportunity to Mr. Ashok Bothra and Ajesh to handle this Q&A. I am sure they are still nervous, new to this role. They may fumble up, but I want them to start taking up these challenges. And if there is any unsatisfactory information or anything else, I can respond to you maybe tomorrow day, to all the participants, that I can respond offline by email or something. So let us try to give them the opportunity this time. I hope it is okay, sir.
Sure, definitely.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
My question is to understand more on the EBITDA side. See, I understand that today our capacity utilization is very less. In fact, the new plant is significantly underutilized. In terms of your top line, you had clearly elucidated about the 40% because of the price decline. In certain parts of the business, the raw material, we pass it, which means the margin optically looks higher, which what I would assume is also played in this quarter. So on the EBITDA side, earlier we thought of about 75 to 100% growth, which is possible, driven by operating leverage as well as, the volume growth. If the 40% top line growth, what should it kind of converge in terms of expectations in terms of EBITDA?
Sir, actually you were not clearly audible. Can you please
let me answer this. Sudarshan ji, this 35 to 40% growth in revenue will, if I'm not wrong, we are at about 16 or 17% EBITDA this year. And with the increasing volume, see, basically the issue is our gross margins are very satisfactory even as of today, despite of this price scenario. The issue is absorbing the overheads. So as your volume picks up, your revenues pick up, your general overheads will start to drop, which will reflect into your EBITDA margins. So if you see my salary cost or the employee cost, it is now typically hitting in a range of about 14 to 15% versus sales.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if historically I see one year before this, then historically it has remained in the range of 7 to 9%, and which is a realistic approach. So when these volumes pick up, your automatically this general overhead cost starts to coming down and it starts reflecting your better EBITDA margins. So still we continue to remain confident with this increasing volumes. We should hit EBITDA in the range of 22 to 24% next year.
Sure, sir. And sir, from the operational perspective, on the continuous flow chemistry, you are quite positive on the PASC commercialization. And also tapping newer clients on the SDA side, we were expecting clients to start contributing from the second half. Can you give some color with respect to, we talked about some improvement in the first half and a sharper improvement in the second half. what could it kind of entail beyond even FY, the second half? What is the kind of ramp up that one should see from the newer contract that we are talking? And also, if you can talk a little bit more, because I mean, when we move to FY26, we should start talking about the BS7 opportunity as well. So where are we as far as that opportunity is concerned? Do you think that, say 2-3 years down the line, we should also be able to play that opportunity?
Right. Right now, the scenario in SDA is, in terms of volume, we expect to grow nearly 50% in FY25. So we were in various validations with different customers, so 4 different customers with number of different applications where we were under validation, which we have now successfully completed. And except for one customer, we have started commercial supplies. Of course, this will take time, 6 months, a year to build up volumes with each of these customers. But all the commercial supplies with all these customers except for one has already started. The one customer which has not yet started, we are waiting for certain REACH registration to happen, which is already in process. So it should happen within next 2 months. So we see an exciting year in terms of SDAs next year. But the issue is price. So of course you will continue to enjoy your defined margins. But the problem is heavy reduction in raw material pricing in SDA in last quarter. So prices continues to slide, and at least fortunately now we see that in April we have not seen any further reduction in price. So I have enough raw material inventory to carry me through this quarter till which I will be able to maintain my prices at earlier levels. But then in Q2, prices of SDAs will have to be made proportionate to the prevailing raw material prices. So though our volume growth will be 50%, I expect the maximum revenue growth to cross only 25%. So this is an irony. So unless and until the raw material prices start to increase, this is going to be a tough scenario. So the revenue increase will be visible as soon as your prices start to improve. So we are actually, everyone would wish that raw material price should come down. We are now expecting this raw material price to go up, which can directly impact your top line and also your overall EBITDA margins also. And so we see next year is an exciting year for SDA to begin with. And this, when you say 26, we will have enhanced volumes coming from Euro 7 as well. So this will again further enhance volumes by another 30-40%. So this is turning out to be now exciting in terms of SDA. But now I expect the price revival to happen.
So, sir, one clarification from your side is, earlier when we talked about it, today we are talking about 22-24% margin. Earlier it was more towards 20%. So on an EBITDA per, absolute EBITDA side, a sharp drop in prices might not necessarily impact a significant downturn in your EBITDA. Because if you are supplying on an EBITDA per kg basis, I mean, mathematically your margins will look higher. Because on a lower base, EBITDA per kg is thing.
What you will see is, okay, 400 crores pe itna banaya, 20%, let us say, 80 crores. Same numbers of 20% on 600 crores look very different, right?
Correct.
So that is the issue. As I explained, let us say 50% of my plant electricity cost is this, your cooling tower, chilling plants, your general electricity plant, lighting buildings, everything is running, which is common. Whether you run your plant at 5% capacity or 90% capacity, right? So when your volume start to build up, your value start to build up, that proportionately per kg cost of all these things starts to drop drastically. And as I told you, manpower cost, I am not going to be, I don't have the power to change it unless and until I start, sending off people home, which we don't intend to do. So your manpower cost is fixed at, maybe let us say my cost would be 40-45 crores in next financial year as an employee cost. So when my volumes pick up, the percentage of employee cost versus my revenue will start coming to a realistic number, which is today at a very unrealistic level of 14-15%.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot. I'll jump back to you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pritesh from Lucky Investment. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Can you share the blended volume growth in FY24 at a company as a whole, if possible? And what was the volume growth in SDA?
I don't have these volume numbers offhand right now, but if you can just drop your name and
Email to Mr. Ajish or me, we will get back to you.
Okay. In the 30% revenue growth in SDA, whatever price decline you have seen is in towards the exit month, right?
Towards the exit in last quarter. So really, price reduction we will see from, I believe, by end of May or early June. So still that reduction is not evident really in these numbers.
Okay.
Not clearly evident, yeah. In phase transfer, at least these numbers are clearly evident, that volume remains constant, but price realization goes by 20-22%. And the same thing we will expect to happen in SDAs from next quarter, I mean, quarter two.
So PTC, you mentioned that the volume growth was zero in FY24 for that 25%.
Clearly, I mean, there was some drop, 5%-7% drop, but nearly stable. But value degradation was quite evident.
Okay. For the 500,000 kiloliter capacity that we have, and you were mentioning about this employee cost, price, and all, what is the capacity utilization?
Just to give you a fair idea and a good understanding, we have two large volume phase transfer catalysts where our key raw material is common, which is tri-butylamine. If you see the pricing of tri-butylamine in March 2023, the last import we did in March 2023 was at $4.2. And if you see the imports of tri-butylamine in March 2024, the price has dropped to $1.6, dropped from $4.2 to $1.6. So this effectively, and this raw material is our key raw material, the largest raw material which we import for phase transfer catalyst, and which goes into our two large products as phase transfer catalyst. And if you see the drop, it is nearly 60%-65% in terms of raw material cost. So that translates into lower price realization of your finished product. So you maintain your margins, but your per kg price realization drops drastically.
Okay. What will be the capacity utilization of your company in FY24?
So it was around 70% as far as reactor capacity is concerned. For assembly, it was around 30%.
So we have two parts in the plant. One is where you have reactors, which is a conventional chemical plant, reactors, centrifuges, tires. And then you have another portion where we do this specialized chemistry for SDAs. So we did a major expansion in SDA capacities and reactor capacity both. So the reactor occupancy was about 68%, whereas the SDA plant occupancy was about 30%.
Okay.
And which is now increasing. So we are seeing improved occupancy of both these facilities from mid of March.
Yeah. So when you say 50%-50% volume growth, basically, which means the SDA assembly side in the next 2 years will easily head to about 70%-80% capacity utilization.
Exactly. So even if I talk of today, even just I'm saying improvement beginning in March and we are sitting in end of April, early May, our occupancy in assemblies have crossed 55%.
Okay. The way you shared that the PTC for the -25% revenue decline in FY24 largely was price-led. In pharma and agro intermediate for the 15% revenue decline, would it be price-led?
It is partially price-led, but not significantly price-led.
Okay. And I did not understand your outlook, which you mentioned in the pharma and agro intermediate side, where you said there were three new products to be developed, two were done, one had a delayed process.
No, no. There were six products, three on pharma side, three on agro side. Out of these, five products have been into qualification, and the qualifications are running smoothly. We have not heard any negative comments. These are qualifications. And all these are expected to begin commercialization from September up to early 2025. Now, there was one one agro product which we dispatched after the Red Sea issue. So this got stuck up in transit and it got delayed by about 45-50 days in transit because of this Suez Canal problem. And then now it is getting into validation. So we had expected to receive that validation by August, but now we expect to get it by November.
But what's the sales potential of these six products?
So this sixth product which I am talking of is the largest of all the six. And overall revenue potential of all these products together is above 200 crores.
And the sixth product itself?
Sixth product itself is above 100 crores.
Okay. Do you have this capacity of, let's say, this 30% reactor capacity that you have?
Yeah. We will run into shortfall. That's what I said. We know that we are going into shortfall. So that is the reason why we want to build up a new plant. There we ran into a little bit of a setback because our soil testing report did not meet the... We are basically intending to create a multi-story plant. We have now one site within, I mean, one plot within the existing site which we had identified that this is the last plant that we can make on the head site. And when we got the soil testing report, it did not meet the criteria which is required for a 7-floor plant building. So there are two options with us. Either we scale down the plant, which we really don't intend to because this is our last opportunity of growth at the Dahej plant. Then we will have to move to the new site. So right now we are undergoing soil testing at three another optional locations. If this doesn't work well, then we will be left with no option but to reduce the plant design. So instead of 7 floors, we might have to go down to 4 floors. So instead of originally designed 150 KL reactors, we might have to scale it down to about 80 or 90 KL reactors.
So you need these reactors for these six products as well, right? So you are constrained by capacity.
Yes. Basically, when we are expanding into variety of products simultaneously, there are a lot of additional requirements in terms of solvent recovery. So we did set up a special solvent recovery and distillation plant, which is about to be commissioned, I believe, by end of May or early June. Then some of the products, we are having a huge recovery of bromine. So we are setting up a bromine recovery plant, which I think should be operational by August or September. And then you require these reactors, some for chemistry and some for recoveries. So without these reactors, we will suffer. But not suffer largely, but some of the things you can get outsourced on contract manufacturing, which is a cost, which can have an impact on your profit, but your work doesn't come to a standstill for the time being.
So, sir, that 35% revenue growth which you're mentioning in 25, you are constrained by capacity thereafter itself, right?
Yes.
Because you are at 70% utilization reactor.
We will run into 85-90% occupancy by the end of the year.
With this 35% growth itself.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Rahil Dasani from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. Am I audible? A bit loud, sir.
Yeah. Is it better now?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, so I have a series of questions. I will quickly take it one by one. In HDA, we are the only one in India and globally we have the second largest capacity. Considering that, we should already be having a significant market share. So on that perspective, if you can help me understand the total market size, since you are guiding for a 50% volume growth on your already significant market share.
So this is very special type of chemical and the data is not easily available. There are only two players. Sekhem is the largest player having 85% of the market share. That is with the Tatva. So with the induction or implementation of Euro 7, the volume growth will be around 50% per unit of per vehicle. So whether and moreover, when this Euro 6 got implemented, we were by that time, you know, Europe, US and Japan already implemented the same. So we were left with the market other than these three top major markets. Now with Euro 7 will come into place, there will be phenomenal growth in the in this segment for Tattva and for other player also, Sakya.
Understood. So just to confirm it, there are only two players in the market. One of them has 85% market share and then next one is Tattva.
Yeah.
Okay. My second question is, we were approved by a new large customer, largest if I am not wrong, for multiple applications. So how is the offtake going there? And how big is this one in terms of volume to our current largest customer?
So we have begun commercial supplies. So of course it will take time. So we expect full scale opportunities to from this customer by end of this year. But we did supply a couple of 100 tons of products within last couple of months to this customer. And the offtake is good. And today, this is negligible compared to our existing largest customer as of today. But we expect this new customer, the largest customer, to become as big as total of our all three major customers at present. That is the kind of volumes we are looking at for them. But this will take about a half, 1.5 to 2 years to build up to that kind of volume.
Got it. And also the big existing customer, we got approved 2 products from them. So in terms of volumes, how will it add up for us?
So that will nearly increase our volumes with this existing customer by about 40-45%. And then commercial orders for these new applications which we have been approved, as for 2 applications the orders have been punched in, and the 3rd application we expect this to start commercially by end of, so Q3 probably I would say, from between October to December when we should start commercial supply.
And any particular reason for these players to shift from the dominant supplier to us?
One very key reason is the raw materials for both these SDAs, major SDAs, was always China dependent. So there were 3 suppliers, but all these 3 suppliers were from the geography of China. And we came up with an in-house production, successfully developed these raw materials in-house. And that is where we laid an option in front of them that you can get a non-China product, non-Chinese origin material, completely Indian made, and this is what we can offer you. So this is how we got this opportunity.
Got it. So that's
basically, I would say something like China plus one, but not in reality, but it is kind of safeguarding that if something happens in China, then what is our option then? That is how we got this opportunity.
And in terms of cost, how do we compare with them?
We are very much competitive and without compromising the quality.
Got it.
So we are, honestly speaking, if you know, if I have to take a purely in a pure decision only as an investor, I will not produce these raw materials because we are not saving more than 10-15% in terms of cost of these raw materials compared to what we can already buy from China. But had we not done this, then we would not have seen this business. That is also a reality.
Makes a lot of sense. My second question is around the PASD segment. So previously we were guiding for 70-80% utilization in our Dahej unit, but then last quarter we guided that we would fully utilize it and also complete a capex by August to October. And I understand the products have been approved, but if you could explain the confidence, especially when this is a different technology being used to produce, which we have never done at these large volumes. Do we have some sort of a verbal or some signed contract?
Out of these 5 products, we have, as I already mentioned, we have already started commercially producing and building up inventory for 2 products. So you can understand the level of confidence we have. The initial comments and, you know, see, these validation processes are quite lengthy. They will first make the product that is using my raw material, they will make their active or whatever they make. And then this active is converted into a formulation and then put into stability study, which takes about 5-6 months to get approved.
but you get the basic approval as soon as they make the active. So using your material, whatever product they are going to make, as soon as they make it, they give you a formal, I mean informal intimation that your product looks good, we don't see any problem, and now we are taking it for formulation. So those kind of feedbacks we have already received for 5 products. Out of this, we have already started manufacturing 2 products, because we know that right now we do have spare capacity at the plant, but we know that as the year goes by, we are going to get occupied. So we already started producing 2 products and started building up inventories, so that we don't miss on the opportunity because of lack of availability of plant. We want to not miss on volumes of these products.
Got it. So what I'm trying to understand is, in 2023 also we expected a similar thing in SDA, where we created a huge inventory, but the customer didn't come through for us. So for PASC, how do we cover our downside if there is something like that again?
Your question is very valid, but the level of business and we have with this customer, it is not a new customer for us. So they are our existing customer, these 2 products what I am talking of. So both these customers are already known and very long, about 12 to 15 years of business relationship with both of them. So I don't see any issue in, and they are just giving us, I mean, this first year is like a trial year, and they are just allocating 7 to 8% of their overall sourcing volume to us. So it is nothing for them. So I don't see that risk.
Adding to Gosar's point, so in 22-23, there was chip shortage resulting in the lower production of the automobile. So it was not because of some bad intent on the part of the our customer, but it was the business decision they have taken in view of the chip shortage.
Got it. And lastly, if you can talk a bit on these 6 products, who else is selling these products, how complex are they to manufacture, how did we get our clients to shift from previous suppliers, and why did they shift exactly?
If I try to give you a very common answer for this all products is, we show them a saving in terms of environmental cost. So we are giving you a cleaner or a greener product. It, we cannot do that on all stages of chemistry. Let us say that each product involves 3 or 4 stages of chemistry. Then we have done some good work in 1 or 2 steps of this chemistry, where either we have utilized continuous flow, some catalytic separations, or an electrolytic process, which gives them, you know, significant savings in terms of waste what we generate. And this is what we indicate to them, that this is much more greener chemistry we come up with. So not necessarily we are giving you any price advantage coming as a new supplier, but we are bringing in a potential which is a sustainable chemistry. So the current product which you are buying by XYZ route is highly polluting. So whether it is really sustainable for a long term, we are trying to give you a more sustainable solution. So this is the theory on which we are working.
And who else is selling these products?
We are launching 4 new products, a family of 4 products for polymer industry. So we are getting into plant trials from next month. And even in this, we have, there was one of these key intermediates of these 4 products. So the first stage of these 4 products is involving a hazardous high temperature catalytic reduction, which is one is high temperature, and secondly it is a catalytic reduction where you are using hydrogenation. So it is again a safety concern. This we have replaced by our electrolytic technology, which is running in water and using electricity as the source. So we basically split water into generating hydrogen, and this hydrogen is used for hydrogenating the desired molecule. So this is where we could successfully establish this technology, and now we are coming into commercialization from next month. Of course, this is very large opportunity, very large volume, but again, it will take us time because, again, longer lead times in terms of getting ourselves qualified. And these customers again globally spread, and it's not a very familiar segment for us. Of course, we know few of them because of flame retardants introduction, but we don't have any commercial business even as of today on flame retardants. Introduction is going to be tough, but this is a very promising and an interesting segment where we have entered with this kind of an innovative technology. Actually, we have not even seen any patents being filed for what we have already done. It is something really innovative that we come up with.
That's very helpful. Secondly, in one of the previous calls, you have mentioned that one of these six products will be a 200 crores product, but in this con call you have mentioned it's a 100 crore product. First of all, if you can explain what's changed, and second of all.
This product has a potential to grow beyond 500 crores, actually speaking. For this year and for next year, till we have our new plant, which we expected to start by September, October, but still we have not broken the ground. As we ran into soil test reports were not favorable to build a seven-story plant there. Either we have to scale down the plant to four floors, or alternatively, we are trying to identify another site or a plot within the premises where we can go up to seven floors. This is what has delayed the plan. This is the reason why I'm saying that we have a lesser opportunity because we will have lesser months to operate even in next year.
Okay.
Opportunity size remains same, and it is vastly growable. Again, in this sixth product, we have successfully done a catalytic separation of impurities, which is quite unique. This is an in-house developed and produced catalyst that we have used, and we have run up to plant scale. We have supplied them about a couple of containers of product for plant validation basis. This technology has run really nicely. Currently, the route through which they are buying the product, that also generates a by-product to a tune of about 20%. Today, that by-product has a good market. That is why they are competitive. This by-product, since where it is being used, that product seems to get banned in Europe. This is the key problem for all the customers using this product, where because today the by-product price is getting offset in this product cost. Once the by-product they are not able to sell, then the product cost has to go up. We have a completely different innovative route through which we make this product, which is sustainable. We don't have by-product. We clean it up to 100%. That is a benefit for the customer on a very long run.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. I may request Mr. Rahil to please follow up in the question queue to ask further question. Okay. I would like to take the next question. The next question is from the line of Mr. Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir. In the interest of time, I will just ask one question. We said that we will soon run into a capacity constraint. Just wanted to understand today, given that we had a spare capacity, we were doing all the solvent recovery and these stuff to keep the plant occupied and have the cost at least under the control. In a longer run, keeping these things in-house and creating more capacity or constraining by capacity, will we have the flexibility to see that we can produce more and push these cost items outside? Because once we have margin which is coming up from producing the final product vis-a-vis lower cost, the call generally is to take the business ahead.
Until now, we were doing all the solvent recovery, et cetera, within the main plant. As I told, we are already in the process. It's nearing completion, so we expect this commercialization in a short time. We already set up a special, different, dedicated distillation and recovery plant.
How much will that?
Which will become operational in a couple of months now.
If I exclude that, then what is the actual underlying utilization for the manufacturing? Because recovery is not.
This spares roughly about 15% of the capacities. Again.
On the reactor.
Yeah, on the reactor plant.
It is not actually.
There are still a couple of waste treatments that we do within the main plant, because this needs to be done in specialized reactors and stuff like that. So that is another thought process which is going on, where we can allocate a small site within the premises and take all these waste treatments to this particular dedicated place, you know, instead of blocking the main reactors for this. So this is, these are the ideas how we can, you know, optimize the plant utilization to the, to increase the revenues.
But then the 68% is not an identical number to think. So it is actually 68 minus 50.
As of today, it is 68%. But if you remove these recoveries from there, then it comes down to about 50% or maybe even slightly less.
Yeah, that's the whole point, right? You cannot block the main reactor for recovery.
But any place, you will need some place to do it, some equipments to do it. No?
You can always outsource, right? It's cost minus the growth, right?
Solvent recovery you can outsource, but waste treatment you cannot outsource, unfortunately. Because that GPCB will not allow you to send your waste outside for treatment.
At least that 15% frees up, right? So that's a
big capacity. But that we have already created a distillation. And again, see, as you know, Sanjayji, that our distillation is not simple distillation. We have certain, if you remember, I had explained you on one of the calls, that we have one solvent which is mixed with 2% of another solvent, which is inseparable because both have similar boiling point. Then we came up with a specialized catalytic separation technology where one of these solvents get reacted and absorbed on the catalyst. So we can recover the main solvent at 99 plus purity and then reuse this. And this is what reduced our consumption of ethyl acetate by nearly 700 to 800 metric tons a year. Now this you have to do in-house. You cannot give it to someone else because he will not have this catalytic separation facility.
No, so technically then telling that once we move to a solvent plant, which is what, 2-3 months away?
2 months, maximum 2 months. So it's...
we can actually double the capacity, right? We are at 50% utilization. If I say even 85-90%, that means we are talking of a good 80-90% jump in the volume which is possible from the existing plant.
Yes, yes.
That clarifies.
And still there are certain ideas where we can do a small setup for waste treatment as well. And we can free up still further space. Maybe another 5-10% is what we can still enhance. But this will do in a due course of time when we find the correct place to set up this kind of a setup. Our first priority is to identify where we are going to build the plant. So we still insist that we want to go for the multi-story building and have maximum possible number of reactors within that plant. But if the soil test doesn't come favorable for any of the three identified locations, then only we'll scale down those plants.
That's clear. Thanks, Chintan Bhai, best of luck for the coming.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Krishan Parwani from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Chintan Bhai, thank you for taking my question. Just a couple of clarifications. So, firstly, I think you mentioned you will achieve incremental probably 135 to 160 crore revenue in FY25. So, could you please, like, you know, give a segment-wise breakup of this revenue increment?
Sorry, can you please repeat your question?
Yeah, so I want to know, like, the incremental revenue that you plan to achieve in FY25, can you please give segment-wise breakup of the sales?
We will, as far as electrolyte salts are concerned, we would find somewhere around 150 to 160% of increase in revenue. And PACs are concerned, we will grow by around 80 to 90%. With PTC, we will be growing somewhere around 8 to 10%. And for SDAs, we will be growing somewhere between 15 to 20%.
Understood. And given that you mentioned, you know, that you might need some capex, so what will be our capex for FY 25 and 26?
70 crores.
For FY25?
Yes.
And for
we had already mentioned that in our earlier earning call also. And as sir rightly mentioned that we hit a roadblock in the process because we failed with the soil testing of the indented site. And that we will be again, it is just postponed by a couple of quarters, and then as soon as we find a suitable location for the same, we will again be restarting the CapEx. So that would be around 70 crores.
Okay. And so would you have any capacity available to achieve top line growth in FY26?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And just a clarification on the number side. So there has been some restatement on the employee cost and other expenses, and also on the other current assets for and financial asset for FY23. So can you please explain what is the rationale behind it?
So say in employee cost, staff welfare expenses has been moved from other expenses to employee cost. So that is the one of the regrouping we have done. And regarding other point here.
Other current other, assets, yeah. For
FI, so there are minor changes. So we will get back to you on this. So studying the nature and amount.
Okay, no worries.
For other expenses, for other current assets.
Sure. Thank you. Wish you all the best.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vipin Goyal from Mirabilis Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Just some quick questions on SDA. So first one is that second largest customer, the Chinese customer, that is from now on not coming back. That is obviously established. So large part of the incremental growth in the next year. Sorry,
yes. We expect that to happen, but that promise has been coming to us, that expected resumption of, after depletion of their inventories, they expect to resume by X month, then Y month, then Z month, but that has not happened. Now, the new promise is August, but I would not go with that. And I am intending to visit them in July or August, so to know what is actually really happening and why this customer has suddenly gone so silent.
So large part of the growth that we
have
building is coming from
that customer as well. So we do have some another relationship with that customer besides the SDA. And that business is running smoothly. So there is no such concern that that customer has stopped buying from us and not and buying from someone else. That is not the issue. The issue is what exactly I want to understand what is happening with that.
Sure. Okay, so large part of the next year's growth is because of the new customer that we just talked about, the largest customer, potential largest.
And our existing largest customers where we got approvals to another product. So this is where we see the volume growth coming from. But the larger part of the growth in terms of volume is coming from the new customers.
Got it. And sir, if you can just give us some idea on what are the current realizations of the SDA product, have they reached lower than $8 kind of number, or where are they as of now?
No, there are, see, in SDAs there is each of these categories has a large basket of products, so giving you one number is difficult. But if I say as an average from the cheapest to the costliest product and the average mix at which we are selling, you can say the average realization is about $8.5 to $9.
Got it. Okay. And sir, last one. Last quarter we had talked about some two new customers in the auto application, some potential business from them as well. So have they started coming in?
These two customers, we have started commercial supplies with one customer, and second customer, approval, everything is completed. We are waiting for a REACH registration to begin business with them. So that is already under process. We expect this to be in place within next 2 months.
Okay, and what's the potential that we can expect from them?
Sorry?
What's the potential business that we can expect from them? These two customers?
These are again the world's largest automotive catalyst suppliers.
Okay.
Volume potentials are huge, but I am not sure as of today how much percentage of that business will come to us. But because it's a new relationship, so it will take a couple of years to build that relationship. But we are estimating a decent volume to begin from first year itself. But let us say we are estimating about 15% volume of their existing business to begin within this year.
Sure, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that will be the last question for today's call. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ashok Bhotra, sir, for closing comments.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Steve, on behalf of the management of Tattva Chintan, thank you for joining us on our earning call today. We hope we have been able to address majority of your queries. You may reach out to Mr. Ajesh Pillai or me or our investor relation partner, E&Y, for any further queries that you may have, and we will reconnect with you offline. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Sanjay Jain, for hosting our call. Thank you all.
On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.